Breaking ball blasted down the left field line towards the pole, and this one is gone. First ball swinging, and Nick Castellanos lines one down the line and right. It's his 10th home run of the season, and the Phillies now lead it 4-0.
Well, great job by the Phillies last night. I mean, man. Lay down Sally, right?
Yeah.
So, I still got to hold on. Can't talk over this.
But you are.
Not much, though.
Is she really resting? Talk to. What an awesome song. But that was really letting it breathe. That was very unlike you, Joe.
It is. I'm trying to imagine.
It's a nice cut.
It's a nice cut. What do you think the singer had in mind when he
said, lay down Sally?
Why would you say that?
Just relax.
Just.
Chaise lounge.
Just unwind,
kick it. Yeah. Sally.
Kick back.
It's like watching a Wheeler game.
It's about a nap.
Just let me give you a hand rub, like I get, Sally.
What?
Exactly. Hey, nice job by Castellanos last night joining
me. See that complex brain, you know?
Yeah, right. Cassie joins.
Call my complex brain, Sally.
Correct.
Rub.
Cassie joins the 10 home run crew, of which there now are three. On the Phillies, July 1st, we got three guys with 10 home runs. So Trey just got there the other day in the Braves series, and then Cassie.
By the way, we haven't talked about the craziness of Trey only hitting home runs on the road. Every single one of it's got 11 or something. They're all on the road. Every single one.
Yeah, that is.
That's weird, right?
Yeah, like
it's just strange.
He's saving them for the playoffs.
Yeah,
Red October.
All right. Well, Fritz better not save much for deep down the line. He's got to win baseball, and that's coming up next week on Wednesday. So I want to read you guys the tweet of the day yesterday.
Can I guess who it's from?
Yes.
Is it from Paul Jolovich?
Yes.
Oh, I saw it.
This
was jolly. Outstanding.
That was good.
This is an all-timer. Ladies and gentlemen, let me present to you Jolly. When I saw this, I thought, let me make sure this is really Jolly's Twitter account. Like, did he really put this out there? Sure enough, it's Jolly's Twitter account. All right, so John, as the only person here that doesn't know what Jolly said, let me read this to you and to the audience. And then, by the way, I'm going to give you some audio of Fritz yesterday that I think will substantiate this. But let me read you Jolly's tweet yesterday. This is A triple plus. Paul Jolovich, WIP talk show host, talking about Jack Fritz, WIP talk show host, writes the following. Jack Fritz is a living example of why I always say that talent is cool, but what you can do with that talent under extreme pressure defines who you really are.
Was that extreme pressure?
Apparently it was.
Man, like talk about a haymaker, seltzer out of nowhere.
Very poetic from Jolly there,
right?
Yes.
I mean, he's basically lumping him in with Ben Simmons. I don't care what talent you entered with. If you don't do something with it, you are a...
loser.
Well, I'm not going to say anything unkind.
It was pretty aggressive from Jolly. Very aggressive.
And by the way, he was doubling down on replies. It was very funny. All right. So let me give you a couple pieces of audio that I think substantiate. Now, again, I'm taking the high road on all this, but Fritz laid
clearly.
He's really driving along that high road,
well, not even looking down.
I'm looking down, but I'm not saying it.
You're yelling down. You're like, hey!
Look, I'm letting Fritz's words rule the day. By the way, your words can rule the day, not only by calling in the regular phone line here. Time's yours. On me versus Fritz and everything Fritz said yesterday and your reaction to him losing times in the first competition. Time's yours, 215-238-4500. I specifically want you to react on time's yours to the next two pieces of audio we're going to play. Listen to these two things and then be ready to call time's yours at 215-238-4500. Let's start with Fritz yesterday on the mental side of things, and there's a big admission from him as we look toward the next competition, which doesn't bode well for him based on what he said yesterday. The mental side, Jack Fritz.
Baseball, there's a mental aspect that I am now worried about. Yesterday, I don't know what to tell you. Yesterday was strictly a mental breakdown on a golf course.
We need to get you a mental skills coach.
Yeah. Read the mental ABCs of pitching like Galladay did.
Thank you for the call, Dom. What if we get the A.J. Brown guy that wrote the book?
Wow.
Inner Excellence?
That's a good idea.
It is a good idea, actually.
Jim Murphy, where you at, buddy?
Yeah. But the fact that he's like talking about
it
so...
What is he doing? He's...
I mean, guys, baseball,
understand
he's
this.
Succumbing
he's
talking to
he
them.
He literally is succumbing to it.
The next competition's in 8 days.
He's talking like he already won. Like, that's the way he sounds.
I think he's talking like he's already lost, it seems like.
He is talking like that.
He's not going to make it to the next competition.
He may not. He may go Jack Quits.
You saying Jack Quits? Yeah, there you
go. Love that.
All right, so
t-shirts.
So time's yours to react to that one. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Have you ever witnessed this degree of mental weakness, Ruben?
Like one time I have.
One time. Really?
Elaborate or
that almost
there
seems impossible.
There was a guy named Dave Holdridge who had the greatest arm I've ever seen. I think I drafted was drafted in the same draft, okay. And then he came to instructional league, and this poor guy could not hit the side of
a
bar. I felt so badly for him. I mean, this is a kid who had the single best arm I've ever seen out of a young player.
Wow.
At that time, I mean, I was still young myself as a player, and he could not come close to throwing a strike. It was, I've never seen that. I felt for him because I had gone through it myself with the thing. But, but I was like, he wasn't even in the same vicinity.
That's unbelievable. Well, Fritz better get it together quickly so you can react to what you just heard him say there. I mean, he's telling you baseball doesn't look good for him on that basis. Time's yours.
That's your sport, man.
Yeah, time's yours, 215-238-4500. So get dialing on that. Now, one more piece of audio. And you're right, John. Like, this is
your
sport.
You're talking yourself out of your own sport?
I know.
Rough.
What are you doing? They're saying, hey, we should get you some kind of like mental health or whatever it is, like sports coaching.
Sports psychologist. Yeah.
Sports psychology. You need a lot more than that, man. And you are undermining yourself.
Listen.
This is craziness.
It is pretty wild. Now, one more thing. I want to play one more piece of audio. Ruben, I said this yesterday, and I've always believed it. And I wish on one hand, I wish I had said it to James privately before the competition. I didn't want to say it publicly because I didn't want Jack to know that one of my strategies was to make him putt out, you know, fairly close putts because I wanted him to give me one or two before I wouldn't give him one or two.
Right.
And it kind of, you know, like worked. So he missed a really close one on five. He actually had a shot to win the hole, reasonable shot, missed it, thought he could just pick up the ball, but blah, 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 blah. You got to putt that out. He's so frustrated he misses the prior one. He misses that one. He goes from thinking he's about to win the hole to losing the hole. I mean, actually, that was on four. That was on hole four.
It's a bad deal.
So, and it's why I've always believed, Ruben, because you and I both have played enough golf. I think a guy that says, I shoot an 85, I think really shoots more like an 88 because they pick up, you know, three, four a hole, you know, per round. I got this one. A four-footer. I got this one. Like a four-footer, five-footer, six-footer for the average golfer, that is no gimme. By the way, this wasn't 4, 5, or 6. This was probably like 2 feet, maybe even less. We'll see on the video. Station's going to probably come out with a video later today. We thought yesterday, but it was a lot.
You weren't giving him a two-footer?
Listen, I knew he was.
Wow.
Ruben, I knew he was melting down.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Why would I?
That's a good point.
So listen to this yesterday. Fritz still thinks he should have been given the putt that he missed, which, by the way, James, fundamentally means he should not have been given the putt.
He missed it, man.
I mean, if you missed it,
he's actually complaining.
There's no other way to turn
missing
around.
Right. The two-foot putt.
Yes.
No,
dude,
yeah.
You once again, right. Undermining yourself.
I'm with you. So I want people to react on Time's Yours at 215-238-4500 to what you're about to hear. And credit to Spike and Ike for standing tall on the right side of history here. Listen to Fritz yesterday.
Now, I might have to go up and in first pitch. This now has to be on the table. When he made me putt from freaking 6 inches away,
can I tell
fastball
you,
up and in.
That hole, I'm going to disagree on that. Golf, it doesn't end until you put it in the hole. This hole.
For real.
Yeah. Like, this whole golf is like,
gentleman's game.
Close enough.
Gentleman's game.
It's not, you're not throwing darts. It's not whoever gets closest. Put it in the hole.
No, but it's about respect. No. It's about respect. It's how men play. That's the issue. It's how men play. It's a very Elliot take out of you.
Well, not when something's at, listen.
This
clearly says there's a lot at stake here. Yeah. So, yeah, he wasn't giving you anything.
No, of course not.
John, you said something earlier that really resonated with me. So we all love Jack. He's a great person. And I know he was really affected in a negative way by losing, but I do agree with you. He also is still a little too jokey. Like this thing is about to be over soon if he doesn't get it together.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, like, dude, I don't know what to tell him.
If you don't grab a hold of this and make some sort of, like, really, like, Herculean effort, like, improve upon what you just did.
Right.
And then some. Like, it's not going to be that snap your fingers, like, easy. Yeah. You are weak.
He needs to have a little killer instinct in him.
He
doesn't have the killer instinct.
You need to offset the weakness with toughness in your brain.
Exactly.
Offset the weakness with toughness in your mind.
Totally
Joe is trying to do this.
And listen,
he just dominated you at doing that.
And I'm not going after him. You guys know I'm not at all. I mean that. I'll just say, James, what did I say for about a month leading up to this? Two words. The first was soft.
Underbelly.
Soft underbelly. Rhea, how many? I probably said it 100 times.
A million times, yes.
Soft underbelly to both his body and his competitive something.
It's the only reason I was team to camera from the beginning, because I know Jack and I know you. And I knew that you would beat him.
And Joe does not have a soft underbelly.
Listen, in the gym yesterday, man. In the gym. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mickey. Mickey, good morning, buddy.
What's up, Joe? Congratulations, pal.
Thank you.
I knew you had it in you.
Thank you. No, let me, full disclosure.
Dude, it is not over.
This is my friend from Penn Charter.
Can I just say
class of 96, Penn Charter.
It's one piece of the competition.
Thank you, Ruben.
Tell Jack Fritz that,
Ruben. That's a long way to go.
Yep.
I mean, this is by no means over.
Jack doesn't sound like he's quit already.
I agree with you. It's not over, but I am
that's a good point.
Pleased with the start. Mickey, go ahead, buddy.
You can't win if you don't win at least one, right?
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Yeah.
So you're 1-0, and we'll see what happens. You're 1-0.
Well, you know, I'm with that. Like Kobe famously said when he was up 2-0 one time, reporter asked him, why aren't you in a better mood or something? And he said, job finished? He said, job not finished. And then he looked at the reporters. He said, is the job finished? And the reporter's like shaking his head. Yeah, job not finished. That's the way I feel. Job not finished.
It is not finished.
Yeah, and there's no peacocking for me here. I mean, I'm letting Jack's words, you know, Mickey, I'm letting Jack's words speak to the audience if someone missed it yesterday when he addressed it for 3.5 hours. But no peacocking for me, man. Head down, focused.
And you've also always been a pressure is privilege kind of guy.
Pardon me?
Is that so?
Is?
Really?
Who said that?
Pressure is privilege.
Did you see him under pressure at some point somewhere?
back in middle school basketball,
Joe was the
guy.
Thank you.
Wow.
Absolutely, I was an early
teacher. Why did that stop?
When he was 12 or 13?
The guy.
People kept growing.
Well, you know, middle school was kind of the sifting out period. And there were a couple D1 athletes that were on that middle school basketball team that went on to play.
Well, D1, Steve Goodrich played in the NBA. Yeah, Steve. Yeah. Steve played, I think, for the Bulls. I think he played for the Bulls for about 15 games, which is pretty cool. I think it was the Bulls.
Played at Princeton.
Well, Mickey. Yeah. He made the pass. He made the pass when. But who was the Princeton coach we all loved?
Pete Carril.
When Pete Carril won that game, my teammate from Penn Charter made the bounce pass for the backdoor layup that led to that victory over UCLA. Remember they beat UCLA
supposedly
after they had won the championship the prior year. No, that was the Princeton offense.
Is that part of like what you guys worked on together when you were coming up through the ranks?
Well,
the bounce passing?
It was more like Steve played and I was on the bench because I was in sixth grade.
Well, maybe that's why you had a special adeptness for the bounce pass yourself.
Could be. All right, Mickey, I appreciate the support. You can win Adam Sandler tickets. Who? In honor or dishonor of Jack Fritz, who should have had a better career?
Your middle school basketball career should have been much better.
You're right. You're not wrong. Mickey, stay well, buddy. Appreciate the. Trust me, he's not wrong. I started strong. I finished weak. Let's go to Paul in Downingtown. Hi, Paul.
Let's hope that's not the same in the Fritz competition.
That sounds like a harbinger to me.
What up, Paul?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Paul.
So, just really quick, give me some latitude. Today is my wife's birthday, so happy birthday, baby.
Oh, happy birthday.
That's awesome.
Happy birthday.
And she found an uncouth moron, and she turned me into the semi-cultured idiot I am today.
There you go.
So, very much. But anyway, onto our Phillies. I think Zach Wheeler is not getting the credit he's due. I mean, maybe he is here on these airwaves and by Phillies fans, but, I mean, here's a guy that goes out and does nothing but shut the other team down. Ho-hum, and it seems like he doesn't really get any national attention, and I don't know if that's just because of the way he goes about his business, but to me, he almost kind of seems, you know, like a like for a frame of reference, almost like a doctor. You know, you do something great, and that's just your job. You're just doing your job, you know, and it's almost like it's no big deal.
I agree with that.
That's what they expect.
Yeah.
You know, I don't quite understand it, but this guy's awesome, and I don't understand why he isn't, you know, and he's proven it, unlike some of the other people that are being talked about really for Cy Young, he's proven in the playoffs that he's gotten medal. You know, the other guys are talking about having made the playoffs, you know, and, you know, so, you know, I don't know. I just, I think it's a little bit disrespectful. I'm curious as to the reason why.
Well, there's, listen,
I'm glad he's a Philly, put it that way.
I will tell you, the folks at MLB Network, I mean, listen, like Dan Plesac and the guys who really know the game of baseball who are out there nationally, they know that he is one of, if not the best, big game pitchers, just best starters in baseball. I mean, obviously, there's guys like Tarek Skubal out there and Paul Skeens, and he's, you know, he's the new shiny penny, and he's great. They're both phenomenal pitchers. Skubal's ridiculous. But this guy, over the last 6 years, there's not a better pitcher in major leagues than this guy, and it's hands down, period, end of story, and I think people do know that.
But Paul, say, on this, on a national level, and it probably even hurts him a little bit locally, but especially nationally, there's not a ton of personality that he puts out there. I don't know if it exists or not, but he certainly doesn't put it out there. And so from that standpoint, he gets dinged dramatically. There's just a lot of people in America that don't know him. I mean, you know, if he had the personality of Jeremy Roenick, I'm going back 20 years ago, or Barkley. The whole world, would, you know, the whole world would know.
Yeah, that's not him.
It's not
just
him.
He's a quiet. Yeah, he's a quiet performer. Yeah. He just gets his job done. I mean, Roy Halladay did it for a long, long time. He was the same way. Really, very quiet about how he went about his business. Cole Hamels was like that too. But and I think people realize how good this guy is. I think they do.
But Ruben, there are a lot of people in America that just don't even know. There are.
Yeah, because he doesn't
the hardcore
have, like,
baseball fans do. But there's a lot of sports fans in America that just don't know.
Because they haven't done anything ridiculous in his career.
Well, you know, baseball has to do a better job of marketing their stars, which we've covered 5 million times.
Well, he's one of them.
And by the way, James, I see them doing different stuff on Twitter now. It looks like they've really amped up their Twitter
game. Yeah, the videos and all that stuff. Yeah, no, and they're fun. They're entertaining when you watch them.
That's the new agreement, right, that led to that?
I don't know that it was.
Didn't they have an agreement recently with someone? And I think that's how they spiced up their Twitter. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Manfred's problem was he just went after Mike Trout for not, you know, helping promote the game. And it's just like, if a guy's, you can't make somebody something they're not.
Right.
You got to find one of those guys.
I agree.
Who's great and great at it.
Well, look, think of it this way. I think most people in America, look, I'm going to give you a Kobe Duncan thing. So I remember doing a poll one time. 2/3 of people thought Kobe was better than Duncan. 1/3 thought Duncan was better. I thought Duncan was better. Kobe, there was a lot more bravado to his personality and also flash to his game.
He was in L.A.
And he was L.A. But, you know, I always thought Duncan was better. It was very close. Don't get me wrong. Very close. But the point is sometimes personality and how you present yourself all lends itself to what people think of, like, who's better. In part, because you just think of the person more. So, anyway, Paul, give me an answer, pal, for Adam Sandler tickets. Who should have had a better career?
Sure, and I get to watch you guys on YouTube, which is great. I'm watching now. You all look fantastic.
Thanks.
And Joe, Tecmo Bowl was one of my favorite things, especially when I was in college. I kicked everybody's butt because I used the Oakland Raiders, and the Oakland Raiders had Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson,
that's my answer.
Yeah.
Bo Jackson should have a better career.
So, yeah, I mean, injury. See, this is weird because we have different reasons why people could have had better career. Bo got injured basically halfway through his football career. We've had
the
people
weird injury
too. And the baseball career too.
Yeah, but he wasn't that good. Ruben, he's overrated in baseball.
But he could do things on a baseball field that no other people could do.
I know, but he wasn't.
No other people. Now, if he got a chance to play there and put all of his marbles in there, it'd have been different.
Fair, but I'll say this: he played baseball from around what 87 through. The injury, before the injury, because things changed when he came back with the White Sox, when he was a Royal for about 4 or 5 years, we could look up his on-base. I bet you it was .320. He wasn't that good.
But he didn't invest all of his time in that
sport. Clearly.
And so baseball is a sport you have to invest time in.
Yeah. No, I get it.
You really have to.
Football, obviously, he could have been one of the, and may have been one of the 5 best running backs of all time.
I've never seen anybody do the sorts of things that he could do on a baseball field when he was with Kansas City. And I saw him and played against him when he was with the White Sox, and that's, you know, at the very end when he was.
Wow, you got to play against him.
Oh, yeah, I played against him. And to watch him sort of limp around, it was really, really not embarrassing. I just felt badly for him because he was. he was such an amazing athlete. You know, you just look at, you know, the things that he could do, and the fact that he was just kind of limping around at that point, it kind of sucked.
Yeah, it was sad for America, because, I mean, most sad for him, we all love Bo Jackson. Everybody loved him.
He was ridiculous.
He was unbelievable. All right.
Ridiculous.
So I want to get back to the Wheeler thing, then right to the phone. So, Ruben, last caller, Paul was saying Wheeler doesn't get his due. So let me read you something. James and I both noticed this last night after the game. I had never thought of it. It really grabbed my attention. Tom Kelly from WIP, TK here, said this last night after Wheeler came out. Well, maybe it was when he was about to come out of the game, 8:52 p.m., whatever point of the game that's at. TK wrote the following on Twitter. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. When you take into account quality, impact, longevity, big game performance, etc., Zach Wheeler is the best Phillies player this century.
Quite possible.
Quite
possible. You know, I will say this, and people forget. Now, don't forget about what Ryan Howard brought to the table.
No question.
Okay, he went for 6 years.
I know.
He was the most prolific offensive player there was in the game.
And I want to give John one stat before you continue, because, John, you weren't here during that, and there's some people that will not know this stat or will not remember it. Fact. You ready, John? Five and a half years, close to six, because he came up 1 year a little early. 6 years total, 262 home runs.
Not just that. But
think about that.
But he drove
the man had 206.
Runs.
Now, John, what's your reaction to that?
No, that's
he had 262
feels,
home runs in 6 years.
What is
that
like
about that?
So that's like 40 something a year? What are we talking
about? For sure.
What is sad
crazy
about that is the fact that people remember his last 4 or 5 years, and that's unfortunate because he was not the same player, because physically he was not the same player.
He was not, yeah.
And I feel badly for Ryan just overall, because he was the most phenomenal offensive player that I'd ever seen other than Mike Schmidt. I'm talking about for that 6 year period.
Sure.
It was ridiculous what he was doing.
I know.
I mean, off the charts. So he's the only guy that I would sort of put Wheeler up against. I don't disagree with what TK said, though.
It's fascinating.
This guy's been un-freaking believable.
All right, so here's your list of who you'd consider. You got the big three hitters from that era: Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins. You got Cole from that era. Now, Roy Halladay was amazing, but it didn't last long. And just, it didn't. And then, of course, you've got this group, which would be Harper and Wheeler.
Right.
And Tommy wasn't here long enough. Lovin wasn't here long enough. Roland and Abreu, while very good, weren't good enough. Rhea, who's the best? Because I got to tell you, until Tom Kelly's tweet yesterday, I thought it was Bryce Harper. And now I'm like, it might be Zach Wheeler.
I don't know if it's Bryce Harper. I would go, I mean, Ruben's right. The 6 years when Ryan was, I mean.
Also has to own the back end.
Sure,
like it is.
But it is literally it is the one guy where, like, if you weren't at the game, you didn't walk away from the TV.
I know.
I can't say that about many players. Like, you gotta go grab something from the other room. You gotta go to the bathroom. Oh, no, Ryan Howard's up. You just didn't leave the TV.
Oh, it was wild.
I mean,
I'm with it.
That's
anyway,
a tough one. That's
maybe
tough
we throw
one.
That into a poll sometime
like
this
it.
Week because
it's a great poll call.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one. And people have to remember, again, you have to sort of focus on eras. In those 6 year period, you take that 6 year period and Wheeler's, and boy, oh boy, you're talking about some
I know
really interesting discussions.
But again, we can't then discount the other 5 years Ryan Howard had.
And also the era that he played in. I mean, people hit more home runs in 2006, 2007, 2008 than they do today. I mean, that's part of the numbers are inflated across the league, too.
It's not just about the home runs. It's the RBIs.
No, I know. I'm just saying that the offensive numbers were bigger and better than they are now.
Guys, the 1 year he hit .313. 58 homers and 149 RBIs.
Oh, my God. It was insane.
And the slugging
wait,
and on base.
What? Hold on. How many RBIs?
149.
Oh, yeah. 158 homers, 149 RBI.
Yeah.
But to James's
and he
point,
batted three.
John, it was his 313. It was his first full season in baseball. First full season.
That is insanity.
So he won MVP.
Seen anything.
To James's point
close
about that,
to that,
there's also this is the era of strikeouts, too. So, you know, you want to, in reverse, as far as Wheeler is concerned, I mean, everybody's striking out.
Right.
Way more at a way higher rate.
Well, for sure. Okay, all right, so maybe we do a poll question on that this week. We have three different poll questions today for different issues. They're all brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin Chevrolet wishing the entire Delaware Valley a happy and safe 4th of July. Armin Chevrolet, closer than you think. Together, let's drive. First poll question. Would you trade Embiid for LeBron? The money matches. You can do it. One guy makes $55 million this year. One guy makes $53 million. You can
LeBron
do it.
LeBron makes less.
Yeah, you can do it. But the key, of course, is you'd get out of Joel's remaining 3 years after that. So would you do it? It's really to be considered.
If I voted several times.
I'd be running into it.
All right, second poll question. Are you excited that we're getting a WNBA team in Philly? It's not going to be for 5 more years. And we'll get into this more as a topic, I'm sure, in future shows for sure. But are you excited? Three choices. A, yes, very excited. B, yes, somewhat excited. C, no, not excited. Curious where you stand on that. Know that the WNBA, the team, whatever it's called, will be competing in the summertime with the Phillies and the early fall with the Phillies and the Eagles. That'll hurt them. That'll hurt them here. That really, like, you can make a case. It would be a much stronger thing if they basically overlapped with the NBA and the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they played from, let's say they start when the NBA starts a little, let's just say they started in, let's say they started in January and they went January to June.
Mm-hmm.
And like the WNBA finals would be in June, July, when there's a bit of a lag. Baseball season's kind of in the dog days, playing out a little bit. Not quite the dog days.
It would be an A for me if that was the case, but I'm leaning towards a B just because of the competition it might create with the Phillies.
I mean, finishing when the Phillies are in October and the Eagles are in October, that's tough, man. But I am happy we're going to get a WNBA.
No doubt.
And it's a good thing, but the timing would be better in Wichita than in Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying?
We have to wait until the other two, the Detroit and the Cleveland.
Yeah, we get in the 2030.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't like that because of the arena.
I don't get it.
Is it the new arena? I don't know.
I think that's what it is. I really
part
do.
Of that. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, all right. Third poll question: who's going to win, me versus Fritz overall? I'm up 1-0. Best of five, who wins, me or Jack? You can vote on all of that at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Talk to Anthony, New Jersey, my greatest supporter, maybe even more than my mom and Amy from Villanova. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, Joe, good morning, man. How you guys doing?
Good, buddy. Thanks for carrying the flag yesterday with the afternoon show. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man, that bozo Spike, man, he hung up on me, man. I didn't appreciate
Wow.
That,
he hung so, up so, on you. I did not yeah, know this. Man. This is news.
Sounds like some soft behavior from the afternoon show.
Anthony, what led to that hang-up?
A guy called before me and said that he called the morning show, but you guys let the morning show guys on before him. And it was a coincidence that I was on after him, and I called way before the show even started. And they didn't get me on until an hour later. And I tried to disguise myself as much as I could when I called. Because I knew that was Boban wasn't going to let me on if I told him who I was. So I just chased, you know, I waited when I got on. I told them, I don't care, UFC, KFC, the hammer and three, man. And hammer, man, I spoke all the trash talk. I got all the cachet, hammer. I got it for you, man. I love your approach. I didn't get it yesterday, man. Hey, Nick Sirianni said it best. I don't know where all your supporters came from, because if I remember in the beginning, it was just you, me, and Rhea.
Yeah, pretty much. That's right.
You got a lot of support over the last few hours, which is all you deserve.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, Anthony, I'm like at a sixth grade dance. I'm just standing by the wall, just watching.
Hey,
I'm just letting all the action go on, and I'm just standing back and watching.
Please.
Hey, Joe.
Are we going to discuss it when you lose as much as when you win? Like, are we going to talk about it all week?
I don't know what'll happen. I don't know. I haven't figured that out.
If Jack wins,
remember that's only if. I'm not pulling a Garrett Stubbs. I'm not predicting we're going to go out in the right field and go into the pool.
No, is it going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday when Jack?
Oh well,
celebrates a win. Like if he actually does something well,
I don't know. You know, Anthony Sirianni, dog mentality. I mean, entering the 10th hole, I had to go dog mentality.
What do you say? All of this success and all of this is like cologne, Joe.
Yep.
You can smell it.
He said, Coach Sirianni said, the cologne, sniff it, smell it, don't drink it. I'm a follower of Sirianni. I'm a follower of Hurts. What the rent is due every day.
No, you're not.
Like,
no, you're
I am staying. I am staying locked.
That is so tired.
You know, Kobe with the mama mentality, I am locked in. Locked in.
The main thing, the main thing.
That's right.
Yo.
That's right. Anthony, God bless you, my man.
He was correcting you there. Not agreeing with you.
Anthony, corrected. Anthony, who should have had a better career?
Hey, man, I'm going to go Barry Sanders.
Oh, no, he can't have a better career than him. Come on. I mean, he could have kept going. Yeah. He could have gotten the record.
He's
but he did enough that's not going to be a winning answer. Yeah. Bryce, though, back end. His back end of a career could be very Ken Griffey-esque, meaning, you know, amongst the two or three best players in baseball for a decade, and then not. That's the fear a lot of us have. Let's listen to Bryce yesterday before the game. Bryce Harper, before the game, put out, signals that while he's back, he's not exactly right. This was concerning.
I didn't think I was going to take any other steps forward of feeling better or anything like that. I thought we were kind of at a standstill of it feeling the same the last couple of days. And, you know, from BP to live and things like that kind of gave us the same result each day. So I thought today was a good one.
Man. So, Ruben, you lived through, as the general manager of the Phillies, the Chase Utley, Ryan Howard physical, I can play, but I can't play as well as I used to. And, of course, you've seen it from even as a player yourself, eventually you just aren't as good as you used to be. But a guy like Chase and a guy like Ryan Howard, they were right on that Bryce Harper-type level. To know that they can't do what they used to be able to do, and knowing you've seen any number of people with that, how concerned are you about the Bryce thing now?
I'm a little concerned because of the wrist, because they can be tricky, and you just don't know what is completely going on inside there, but it just sounds like he's going to have to deal with some of the pain and just play forward. He's got a pretty high pain tolerance, like stupidly high. I mean, this guy took a 98 mile an hour fastball off his face and came back and played, you know, not long thereafter.
Can I ask you a question, Ruben, before you keep going though? So I keep hearing about the pain, which I get totally. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know the degree, but I totally understand it conceptually, but isn't there the reasonable likelihood that it's not just a pain thing, it's how effective he will be? I mean, he wasn't playing.
Hand in hand.
Wasn't playing. Is like 2021 Bryce Harper was unbelievable. 22 and 23, like there was injuries in there in the regular season, but postseason he was unbelievable. Last year was a short postseason. He actually again was unbelievable at a .750 slugging percentage in four games. Remember, he bailed their ass out in game two with that home run. I mean, it felt like the season was going to be over in game two. Then he hit that home run. People forget about that. So, but like, I wonder if he can, because Chase and Ryan Howard could not answer the bell the way they previously did. Clint.
I trust that he can. I think that he's a special talent and he'll be able to work through it. From what I saw yesterday, I didn't see any ill effects, but of course it's over the course of time.
Yeah.
The course of time, how he manages it. But, listen, I have faith in the guy. He wouldn't be playing if he was injured, and I think he would not be playing if he felt like it was going to get worse over time. So
that's a great point. Yeah. I do think, Joe, everyone needs to remember, everyone else is feeling stuff that crops up at this point
all
of the season too.
But he's feeling more than most.
Okay.
Yeah.
And soon next week it might be Kyle Schwarber who's feeling it more than him.
Right.
Everyone is beat up. He tried to rest it, you know, went on that IL, tried to see if it would go away, and it didn't. That doesn't mean it's the end of the season for Bryce Harper.
No.
He can still manage this thing. He did last year. He can still come back and give us a hell of a season.
I
am encouraged by the fact that he's able to do this.
Well, I'll say this. I think their lineup needs him more than they used to. I think the lineup's as good.
No question about it.
The lineup's not as good as three years ago.
It changes the lineup dramatically. I mean, you don't want to say that one player makes it. Well, a player of this caliber, yes.
But the
domino effect that is created by having him in the lineup as opposed to not is
But the
huge.
Fact that he is in the lineup, to me, suggests that the doctors are saying, hey, you will be okay. It's not going to make it worse. I thought that was a really important point. he's out there because they're saying, in all likelihood, it's not going to be made worse. It's a pain threshold thing. Can you do this for us? And I think he's going to.
Yeah, here's my summation. My greatest concern is his effectiveness.
Right.
Not whether he plays. It's his effectiveness when he plays.
And I'm excited that he can be effective still.
We don't know. We don't know.
We have no idea.
I mean, I saw Carson Wentz become a lumbering quarterback.
We have no idea. Like, I'm hopeful.
Right.
We have no idea.
Well, let's listen to Rob Thompson.
He has an idea. This is Bryce Harper, guys. Nah.
We haven't gone into this issue yet.
Ken Griffey was Ken Griffey, and then he didn't have his legs, and then he wasn't Ken Griffey.
33 in October. Like, at a certain point, it piles up.
It's
Listen to Topper. So this was an interesting answer. I didn't quite know what to make of it. Is Rob Thompson like sticking up for Bryce? I just was a little bit confused on this one. Rhea, I know you got the audio in there because James is struggling to find it. Can you play it from where you are, Rhea? If not, we'll just play it when we...
So the Bryce and the John Clark?
On Rob Thompson. I tell you what, we'll play it coming up next. Topper on Bryce Harper. We'll get to that.
I had the exchange with John Clark and him ask it. That's not the one.
Rob Thompson?
Rob Thompson.
Yeah.
Let's get to that. Rob Thompson.
Okay, good.
Let's get to that. Here we go.
Bryce used the term, the progress was at a standstill. Is this something that will have to be managed, you know, from here on out?
I don't know what that means. Progress is at a standstill.
That's what he said. He said, like, didn't necessarily feel like he would get any better. He used the word standstill.
Well, it sounds like he's fine to me. So we're just going to have to monitor him every day.
I think Rob Thompson's getting really, I was going to say good. I would actually say now bad. It's almost too obvious the way he's, what is he doing, James?
That was a really weird.
Is he covering?
Yeah, I don't know.
What is he doing?
He doesn't understand why Bryce used the word standstill.
Well, I'll answer, because he doesn't feel right, and it's not improving.
It's plateaued. You used that word earlier today. It's the right word.
His progress plateaued.
Yeah, he's not getting any worse. He's not getting any better.
So James, why does he answer that question that way?
Topper?
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. That was a really strange answer. I mean, he's basically like almost like refuting what Bryce is saying.
Almost.
He's being like, he sounds fine. He's totally fine. And Bryce is saying, I'm not totally fine. I'm playing, but I'm not totally fine.
Because the Phillies went out of their way through Topper like 10 days ago-ish to say, we've cleared him.
So it does feel like there's a bit of a clash between the Phillies and Bryce on this.
I think Bryce is, I'm going to use this word, I don't mean this as a criticism. I mean it sympathetically. I think he's scared. Listen, Bryce is a student of baseball. He knows Ken Griffey lost his legs. Like, he knows.
I'm not ready to go there, man.
I'm just telling you, he knows.
I think we're blowing this out of proportion, folks.
Too.
I think we're blowing this out of proportion.
The man
is going to be fine. I think he's just lowering expectations, and he's going to go about his business.
You can't have
and
your
play.
Superstar lowering expectations.
I think he's just saying, hey, it is what it is, and I'm going to go play. Period. End of story.
Well, again, I'll come back to my summation. We'll see how effective.
I think he's probably a little frustrated that it didn't get better while he waited. Now he's ready to go back and play, and I think he'll play well.
All right, more of Fritz and Spike and Ike and what they said yesterday, plus your reaction on the Bryce Harper thing, everything we're discussing here today. 215-592-9494 on a busy day, 94 WIP.
You've heard me talk about my friends at PDQ POS and how their top-rated restaurant management system has helped thousands of companies in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, and casino businesses across the country. We've seen their operation when we've done our show from their headquarters, and the people, the technology, it's all so impressive. If you're thinking of cutting your old point of sale, it's time to go all in and revolutionize your business with PDQ POS, the game changer in the world of POS solutions. Joe Flynn and his team at PDQ have been the industry leader for over 35 years for a reason. It's because they offer everything. Mobile POS, self-service kiosks, enterprise reporting, contactless functionality, data and cybersecurity, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, they'll build a custom solution for your business. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Schedule your free demo and business consultation today at PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.